But I don't know of a place anywhere in the world, and I've been around the world, that I'd rather be. Where are you going to get any better freedom than what you've got right here? Whether you're black or brown or Chinese or old? Everything's not all right because people are running it. But if you will, turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Good to see all of you. I'll be glad when this COVID is way behind us. And people aren't afraid to come out, you know. And because we need to be with each other. It's just part of being in the church. You have the fellowship. And Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to just read the first four verses, but I'm going to go through it further than that. But I'm going to read the first four verses, and then we'll have a word of prayer. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. For in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the word of God we have in our hands. Thank you for the other believers that are fellowshipping with us this day. Thank you for those that have tuned in and are listening. And God, we ask you to suit a blessing to each one. Give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. And Lord, I pray you would empower your word. You said your word would not return unto you void. It would accomplish your purpose. I pray you would empower your word and bless lives today. I pray, God, we'd have a greater confidence in you and a greater confidence in the relationship we have with you. Give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. I'll give you credit for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Spurgeon is a favorite of mine. I have read his sermons. He was in the 1850s at the time of our Civil War and whatever in England. And his sermons went around the world. In fact, his sermon was taken down by stenographers and he corrected it. And then it was printed in the newspaper and went as far as England was. And that's pretty big in that day. And he's a great preacher. Really was an absolutely great preacher. And I thank the Lord for the blessings that I've got. In one of the statements, and my memory might be a little bit bad, but I'm thinking a man surrendered to preach, and he preached for 161 sermons, and then he died. Every sermon began with John 3:16 as his text. And it was, I was studying Spurgeon's message right there where I found he makes a statement about this guy. You know something? That's a pretty good verse to go with. Sure. For God so loved the world. Wow. That's a beautiful message. You ought to get that message. Do you know that message? Do you really know God so loved the world? Do you know God loved you? Wow. How could you get a better verse to preach from? It's a good text everywhere. And how, everywhere you go, you're coming back to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died for us that we might live unto God. Beautiful thing there. I am sometimes criticized because I'm an optimist. Make no doubt about it. I know there's lots of trouble right now. There's going to be worse trouble coming in the future. I know some of the things that are going to happen to you are going to be really bad. And I will cry with you when they happen to you, just like I hope you cry with me when they happen to me. But I'm still an optimist. You know why? God's going to finish this thing out His way. And when I learned something, I learned that God was my Father. Do you realize? I know he's my king. I know he's my God. I have a great admiration. All of these things, we don't even know all the insects yet. It's discovering something new all the time. How about all those years they didn't know about electricity and copper wires that could light these things and power your tools and stuff? What else is out there that we don't know yet? It's a great big thing. We have a wonderful God who's powerful enough to create all of this. Now, you may be an atheist. You might be an honest atheist. I don't think a lot of people are, but you just might be one. But let me tell you something. Looking at your own eyes, looking at your body, looking at the world around you, looking at the sun coming up every day, how in the world can you think that came out of an accident? Doesn't make sense to me. Not at all. There is a God, and He is all-powerful, and He is all-knowing. Praise God, He died to save my soul. Greatest news I ever heard. I'll admit that I ignored it for a while in my youth. But you know, I came to a place where I accepted Christ as my Savior. And He forgave my sin. And the load of my sin at 20 years old going off of me in my mind was a great thing. I haven't got over it yet. My sins are gone. They're buried in the depths of the sea to be remembered against me no more. Now, God is our Father. He's the Father of Jesus Christ. You and I are children of God. That's what the Bible's telling you. And we have here a chapter. I think it's one of those universal chapters that you could just almost preach on all the time. I think of several other chapters. If you want to get really, maybe you're a little hesitant about your confidence in God. And maybe you can't feel as free. Well, John chapter 3, like verse 16, but John chapter 3, period, shows that God is a Savior. God is giving a gift of eternal life. John chapter 14, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. Wow. Amen. Tremendous, tremendous message you can find right there. And then Romans chapter 10, we were passing out Gospels of John and the book of Romans on the Operation San Antonio. Why? Because they are so clear. They reveal things in the Word of God so clear. A lot of people are intimidated by the Word of God. They don't think they can understand it. They don't think they can know it. But oh, my friend, you can. And there are passages that are super clear that give you comfort. Now, I know in experiences, and I've said this many times, and you know how I feel about it, I had a great father. I had a real good dad. I had a real good mom. They loved each other. They loved their kids. And in the kindness and their compassion and realizing that we were a part of them, I thought everybody had a father like that. I got up a little bigger, got to be about a teenager, and I realized everybody didn't have a father like that. Some of the fathers aren't all that good. Back there was a magazine in the 60s that they ran a survey of the prisons. 70% of the people in prison came from a home without a father. At that fun time when they were looking at it. Wow. Well, you need a father sometimes to set you down. I remember when I was a 17-year-old, I've got decent-sized hands. My father had a pretty big hand. And he was looking at me, and I was mad, and I had my fist doubled up. I don't even know what it was. Just the idea I was mad. And he takes his left hand, and he sticks it right in my face and said, "Could you hit me, son?" And I looked at that finger and I said, "I'd be a fool if I did." I had a good man. He talked to me about things. I knew he was on my side. I knew no matter what happened to me, no matter where I went, no matter what I'd done, no matter what I'd gotten into, I was welcome. He told me that, and he knew what a teenager was going to get to and what a young man could get in trouble with. And he told me, you can always come back. I am your father. This is your home.
Amen.
You know something? I didn't have to go up and knock at the door. I probably should have, but I didn't have to. I was going home. Now let me say something. God is my Father. Have you got a hold of that? Are you saved? If you're saved, God is not just this great God. God is not just this super brilliant, wise being. God is just not this all-powerful creator. He's your Father.
You
ought to be able to walk into His presence the same way. Maybe the rest of the world may come in like He's the great King, bowing and scraping and whatever. No, you don't have to do that. I don't think Jesus Christ does that. He's His Son. But what am I? I am His Son. Do you realize the exalted position that puts you in? I don't know the governor of Texas. I don't know the mayor of San Antonio. I probably couldn't get to see my own councilman. But I can see God.
Amen.
I can see my Father.
Amen.
Anytime I want to, anytime I'm pleased to, I can walk into the presence of my Father and let Him know what I think, what I want, what I hope. Oh, man. What a beautiful, beautiful thought. And the more you think of that, why wouldn't you be welcome? Why wouldn't you be welcome? My kids are welcome. I got 5 kids. I got more than my dad had. He just had 2. I got 5 kids. I got 15 grandchildren. And then I got the ones that are married to them. They're also my grandchildren. I got a lot of family. Ooh, I've got the great grandchildren. Nobody has prettier grandchildren than I do. I'm amazed. I'm just blessed watching them. They don't really have to approach me like I'm some great being. Why not? I'm the father, the grandfather, the great-grandfather. Isn't that right?
Sure.
They can crawl on me and get snot on my britches. Yeah, they do. They can walk out and get dog mess on their shoes and bring it into my rug. They do it. I didn't take them up and slap them around. Why did you step in the dog mess? Why did you step in the dog? No. They're my children. You're a child of God. Have you thought about that? Those passages I read to you, Hebrews 10, John 3, John 14, Romans 10, you ought to know them. And if you're hesitant about coming into the presence of God, you really ought to study those. And get down in your mind and in your heart and in your complete knowledge, I'm a child of the King. He welcomes me. He wishes me to come and talk with Him and speak with Him. Wow. Well, let's go into this chapter here. Hebrews 10:1. For the law. Okay. That's the 10 commandments of Moses. That's all of the sacrifices of the Jewish tabernacle. I understand at this present time, there are Christians who go back and want to become Jewish, doing sacrifices and other things like that. To me, it is beyond my comprehension. If you're really saved and you really know Christ is your Savior and God is your Father, why would you want to go back under beggarly elements like the law? It doesn't make any sense to me. Now, it does to some people, but I don't understand it. Anyway, What does he say about the law? He says in the very first verse, for the law having a shadow. This is the Bible. I'm reading the Bible to you. It's in your Bible. The law having a shadow. Now, what's a shadow? Well, the light can... I've got a shadow right here. I got a shadow on the page here. Is the shadow the hand? No. No. You wouldn't mistake that. The shadow is not my hand. The shadow is just an indication there's something there. That's what a shadow gives you. There's something in blocking out the light. A shadow. Now, the law, God's first covenant that he made, it was made by the blood of animals. And the Bible here, right in Hebrews chapter 10, is making a statement in the very first verse, for the law having a shadow of good things to come. And not the very image of the things. Can never. Listen. The law can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. He's making a statement here. This is the Bible. This is the Word of God. It's the only authority you've got. I'm not your authority. Some professor at some podunk university is not your authority. Some preacher somewhere is not your authority. What you've got is a Bible. And what a privilege you have that you can have big print, small print. You can have leather. You can have a hardbound, man. You can buy cheap at H-E-B. You can have Word of God. Why would I want to play around with a shadow when I can have the reality? Now what he's telling you, the law, he's coming from the New Testament point of view. New Testament, New Covenant, Old Testament, Old Covenant. Both unsealed by blood. And not the very image of the things can never. Am I reading that correctly? Does that make any sense to you? All of those sacrifices in that Jewish temple that were given according to the law by the priesthood of those in the country can never take away sins. Wow. Is that something? Why would I go back under something that can never take away sins when I've got somebody that says, my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood. Praise God. They're buried in the depths of the sea. There's far away as the east is from the west. He's giving you an understanding here, right here in the book of Hebrews. He's giving you an understanding what you ought to have confidence as a born-again Christian that you are a child of God and God welcomes you, God loves you, God cares for you, and you're dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I don't walk into the presence of God dressed as I am in my righteousness. My only entrance there is because Christ paid it all. And my sins are gone to be remembered against me no more. But the law can never, with those sacrifices, make the comers thereunto perfect. Look at verse 2. For would they not have ceased to be offered? If they did the job right, how many times has Jesus sacrificed? Now, I know some people, some churches, say that when we take the Lord's Supper, that's the actual body of Jesus Christ, that little piece of bread turns into the body of Christ, and that grape juice or wine, whatever you have, turns into the blood of Jesus Christ, and you're almost sacrificing him again. No. No. It is simply a symbol. It is simply a shadow. It is simply a teaching, reminding us what Christ did for us. Praise God, he did something good for me. He did something good for you. And I've been preaching this over 64 years by the grace of God. Jesus Christ saves souls. Amen. And when he saved your soul, he took you in as his son, his daughter. You're able to walk into his presence and be welcome, just as my children are welcome and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren are welcome in my house. That's God. He said in verse 2, for would they not have ceased to be offered? Because the worshipers, once purged, should have no more consciousness of sins. Now verse 4. For it is not possible. I'm quoting the Bible. I'm reading right from the scripture. What is it? It's not possible. What's not possible? It's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. What can take away sins? The blood of Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
Is there anything else can take away sins? No. Not another thing. Not the law, not the sacrifices, not the blood of bulls and calves. No, no. The blood of Jesus Christ, and he only died once. Yep. He doesn't die every week. He doesn't die every day. Amen. He died once. Amen. Once to pay for all of the sins of mankind. And God accepts your faith as he did with Abraham and imparts the righteousness of Jesus Christ to your account. So you don't have to worry about coming into the presence of God. You ought to rejoice walking into the presence of God. Amen. It's not possible the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Now look at verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. For in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. I'm reading the Bible. That's not a commentary on the Bible. I'm reading the Bible. Then said I, verse 7, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written to me, to do thy will, O God. What does the book tell you? That Jesus Christ came to do the will of God. That's what it says. Not possible the blood of bulls and goats. Well, but it's possible for the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 9. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Now he's talking about a covenant there. What is the first? The law. The law. He's taking away the law. And he's bringing his righteousness himself in. That's the New Testament. That's the New Covenant. And it's not based on the blood of bulls and goats. It's based on the blood of Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. That's why he can say, no man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
There is no other mediator. Mary cannot mediate your sins. No priest can mediate your sins. No preacher can mediate your sins. Christ alone. Christ alone, one name, one salvation. I know it sounds absolutely terrible to say that everybody that's outside of Christ is lost, but that's exactly what you have to say. It's Christ or it's nothing, because nobody else can pay for your sins. He took away the first covenant that he might establish the New Testament, the New Covenant, sealed by blood, by the which will we're sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. I want you to notice something else. Is this clear? Isn't this clear teaching? How clear can it be? It just blesses my heart every time I read it. It says once for all.
Yep.
He didn't have to repeat it. He didn't have to do it next year. Why? He did the job the first time. He removed your sin from you, every one of you that takes Christ as your Savior. He removed your sin from you and gave you his righteousness. Made you a son of God and an heir of heaven and a brother of Christ.
Wow.
Tremendous privilege. Once for all. Now look at verse 11. Here's religion. Every priest standeth daily, ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can what?
Never.
All that priesthood does, all religion does, cannot take away your sin. Every priest standeth daily, ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never, never, never take away sins. But this man, look at verse 12. But this man, after he'd offered how many sacrifices?
One.
One sacrifice for sins forever. Hey, that's past the rapture. Hey, that's past the new heavens and the earth. Hey, that's forever. Wow, that's beautiful. How plain can you make it? Do you believe it? That's your problem. It's written very plain. It's written very clear. Your problem is believing it. I believe it. One sacrifice for sins forever. Now, going down a little further. Look at verse 14. For by one offering, in case you didn't understand it, he has perfected forever. Is that you? That's you. You accepted Christ as your Savior. You've taken Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're trusting His righteousness to make you pleasing to God. Wow. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now we're remission of these. Are they remitted?
Yes.
Have they been paid for? Okay, what does it say? It says there's no more offering for sin. How clear does the Bible have to be, or is it you'd ever read it? You, sometimes you need to read one chapter about five times in a row. It'll help you a whole lot. Go over it and over it and over it again. Repetition is a wonderful thing. No more offering for sin. There's only one offering for sin that God will accept. That's the righteousness of Christ.
Amen.
The Old Testament Jewish sacrifices, they were a shadow. They were a teaching thing to get you prepared for Christ to come. But once Christ comes, the Old Testament is done away. And the New Testament, the New Covenant, is applied. And it's Jesus Christ once for all, never to be repeated. Wonderful, wonderful, beautiful thing. Now look what it says in verse 19 first. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. That's not fear and trembling. That's not hiding my head and apologizing and bowing 15 times before I get up to God. Boldness. I mean, the Bible tells you boldness. You can go boldly into your Father's room. You can go boldly into His throne. And the very holiest place of all, says, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That one sacrifice for sins forever sets you up. You're a part of the family of God.
Amen.
He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again so you can be where I am.
Yeah.
That's the love of God.
Yes.
Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. There's no place you can't enter in. The blood of Jesus Christ is your ticket. You're in. You are dressed in His righteousness and you're welcome as a son of God. And you can walk into the holiest. There's no place that you can't go. So he says in verse 22, there's boldness. Let us draw near with a true heart. Do you think he's talking to you? Or was he talking to somebody really special that you know? Let's draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Full assurance. You can walk into the presence of God every day and you're welcome. You're welcome. I've got a Heavenly Father. He wants to talk to me. I've got a Heavenly Father. He wants my fellowship. I've got a Heavenly Father. He's happy to see His Son. I've got a Heavenly Father. Praise God, because there's a new covenant. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Don't trust yourself. I don't trust myself. I'm weak. I'm sometimes forgetful. Sometimes I lose my temper. Sometimes I say stupid things. Do you ever? I know you do. Everybody I know does. Who controls this thing? Brian was talking about it. Boy, we can't keep that thing controlled, can we? And it's in all of us. And that's just one little thing, one little bitty thing. How about the rest of your life? How about the way you treat each other? Do you walk with love? Love towards God, love towards your fellow man, love towards your husband or your wife, love towards your children. Children, love towards your parents, love towards your God. Wow. Boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Let us draw, verse 22, near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. As I read these scriptures, I think how much God is offering you and me. Well, I've already taken it. I took it to heart years ago. I walk into the presence of God because He loves me and I love Him.
Thank you, Lord.
He saved me and I'm saved, and I know I'm saved only by what He did for me.
Amen.
It was a gift of God. Praise God. It was a gift. It's still a gift. It's always going to be a gift. And you know, that's one thing that you can say, eternal security. Some people doubt it. Some people fuss about it. Some people worry about it. God gave a gift. The gift is eternal life. You didn't earn it. You can't lose it. God gave you the gift, and the gift is eternal life. Praise God. I see boldness in there, and I see full assurance. Go back to John 3:16. For God so loved the world. That's you. You weren't worthy of love. No, no, you weren't picked out. I wonder sometimes, the crowd I ran with, the teenagers I was with, and some of them just never did get saved. But I got saved. I wondered why. Why me? Why me? I don't know.
Thank you, Lord.
I don't have any idea, but I know it happened. I know it happened. It wasn't what He saw in me. It was the love of God in Christ Jesus. That He tasted death for every man. He tasted death for you. You may have had religion, but you've never had salvation. Trust Christ. Trust Christ. Christ can save your soul. He's the only one that can. Absolutely. Religion doesn't have a chance. It's the blood of Christ. He's the one mediator between God and men. The man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself for us. If you're not saved, call on Jesus Christ today. The Bible in Isaiah 55:6-7, what a tremendous wisdom Isaiah had, insight. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. You know, He can be found today. That's what He says. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He's near. He said where this word is preached, He was going to reap a blessing from it. It was going to accomplish His purpose. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, for He will have mercy.
Thank you, Lord.
God has mercy on sinners.
Amen.
I'm thankful for that. I don't know about you, but I'm very thankful that God has mercy on sinners. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Why don't you trust Christ?
Amen.
Don't wait any longer. Just come to God and ask Him to have mercy upon you. Lord, bless your people. Bless your word. Touch any heart and life. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.